Our Bible reading today is Psalm 8. And if you've got a pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 848, if you'd like to follow along. This psalm is a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Well, here we are in Psalms still, and, well, still, third week in the Psalms. And thanks again to Lisa for last week. We've got on the right there, it's in small print, hopefully you can read it. We've looked at being planted in God. Last week was being honest or being real with God as we thought about lament, and it was a Psalm of David as well. We're in another Psalm of David this morning with the idea of being amazed, being amazed. So I wanted to start by just giving you an opportunity, okay, because we're talking about being amazed, and so I wanted to start by asking you, are you ready? Listen to my words. Prepare to be amazed. Okay? Now, just in case you didn't quite, like, you weren't quite ready for that, I'll just give it to you again. Just, if you want, close your eyes, deep breath, and prepare yourself. Prepare to be amazed. Now, I'm really curious, what did you do? How did you prepare yourself? Did you brace yourself? What happened? Sorry? You were still? Okay, cool. And what did you say, Sharon? You relaxed? Okay. Michael, were you going to? You sat upright. Sort of, was that like a, not the brace position, but you were bracing yourself for something? Yeah. Anybody else? Anyone else go? Anna? Nice. Fully prepared. You're not prepared if you haven't written it down and taken notes. That's for sure. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, okay, so prepare to be amazed. Last night, Australian Eastern Standard Time, yesterday afternoon, between 3, 5 p.m., the Wallabies beat Japan 56-17. What? I don't know what's going on for you now, but as we'll look in a moment, as we think about what it is that amazement is and what it does to us, me just saying that has probably caused your heart rate to quicken. But we'll get into that in a moment. I was shocked, but anyway, prepare to be amazed. It's an interesting statement that we say, hey, prepare to be amazed. It's like, okay, but isn't that going to minimize the impact? Because how do you prepare yourself to be amazed? Other than brace yourself in some ways, relaxing is an easy one. Relaxing is an interesting one. Because that's a little bit like, hit me with whatever. But, you know, most people go, oh, okay. Like some of you, like if you had all been standing up and I said prepare to be amazed, some of you might have gone, well, I better sit down for this. Do you know what I mean? So, what do we, you know, I, because... I prepare my sermons, but every now and again I ask AI for help. And I asked AI, what is it that is the most amazing thing? What is the most amazing thing? And this is what it said. It actually gave me three things. It said the human brain. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The universe. Whoa, our brains, as amazing as they are, struggle to understand the universe. And then AI went snugly on me and said, love and connection. Actually, something intimate and relational is something that amazes us. It's amazing when somebody loves us, isn't it? And sometimes in life we start to take the amazing things as just ordinary, don't we? There's a lot of love and connection in the world, but there's not enough. And every time there is love and connection, surely it's amazing. So these are some things to think about. I found a website as I was looking around which looks at feelings and emotions. It's called iamfeelingguide.com. And it said this about amazement. It said, amazement is a profound emotional response characterized by a sense of wonder and astonishment, often in reaction to an unexpected event or experience that exceeds one's expectations. Do you notice? There's a fair bit packed into that definition, isn't there? Profound emotional response. So it's profound. Amazement is not just a sort of, you know, a little blip. Amazement is a big thing. And there's a sense of wonder and astonishment. It's often in reaction to an unexpected event or experience. Sunrises, sunsets, every single one is different. And sometimes you see a sunrise or a sunset, don't you? And you go, amazing. Occasionally you look at one and you go, that's pretty ordinary. But they're all different, aren't they? And that's why sometimes they blow us away. They exceed expectations. They are unexpected. There is a sense of wonder, a sense of awe, a sense of astonishment. How do you prepare for that? How do you prepare for that? I feel that preparing for it in some ways might diminish it. Some ways relaxing into it might be the way to go. So what does amazement do for us? Well, that same website tells me this. Physical manifestations of amazement often include increased heart rate. The Wallabies won by how much? Ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. Heightened alertness and an overall sense of energy. Some may experience goosebumps or a tingling sensation reflecting the body's excited state in response to awe-inspiring stimuli. I get amazed and excited just reading what it can do to you. It's actually sort of invigorating, isn't it? It's quite amazing in itself. And so when there's a sunset, one of the things that can happen is there may even be a sense of energy. I say that's a sunset because I'm not going to be jumping like that in the morning at a sunrise. But in sunset, it's possible that it brings energy to us. So just for a moment, amazement is not something we often think about. But this morning, let's think about it. And I want to give you four things. Now, the first one sort of sets up the second, third, and fourth. So it's sort of like one big thing, but then there's three things that flow from it. And so the first thing is this, and that is that God is amazing. And the psalmist picks up on that in verse 1 very much. Now the whole psalm points, so the next three points all point to how God is amazing. But straight up, this is what the psalmist says. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Now, David is going to fill that out for us a little bit more shortly when that idea of setting his glory in the heavens and a part of what that might look like. But just for a moment, David is saying that God is amazing here on earth, but he's also glorious in the heavens. He's an amazing creator. I did like the fact that David says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth? We did a sermon series on the names of God. I don't know if you remember. I thought this morning, let's just for a moment be amazed again by the God that we worship and follow and that we read about in the Bible. That he's the God who will provide. He's almighty. He's a creator. He's Lord and master. He's the Lord who heals. He's the Lord of peace. He's the Lord of hosts. He's everlasting. He's our Father. That's amazing. He's our shepherd. He's with us. He's the beginning and the end, whatever that means. That's amazing. He's righteous. He's the God who sees me. We looked at that at base camp a little bit last week. He's jealous. He's jealous. That's amazing. There's a song about this, isn't there? He is jealous for me. That's amazing. And so there's a bunch of other names there as well. But this is the God that David is amazing, is wondering, is in a sense of awe about this morning as we look at Psalm 8. And so that's the grounding for the next 3 points, that quite simply God is amazing. He is amazing. So how does that sort of come out in the next three things? Well, the second thing, or the first of the three, is that God's creation is amazing. What he has made is amazing. We see that in verse 3 when he says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." What was, AI told us there were three things that amaze us. What was one of them? The universe, wasn't it? Hey, what do you know? Maybe AI's been reading Psalm 8. Here we have it. "When I consider your heavens and the work of the fingers," there's this imagery by David, isn't there? And if you've seen that movie, Bruce Almighty, with Jim Carrey, where at one moment he's setting up, he's married to Jennifer Aniston, and he's there on the balcony, and he's actually doing what's in an old movie. He pretends to have a lasso, and lassos the moon and pulls it closer. But then he realizes there's not quite enough stars for the romantic meal that he's going to have. And so what does he do? He puts a few more stars up there. You remember that part of the movie? And David here just sort of reminds me of that God is there just going, how am I going to do this? What's going to look right? What's going to be perfect? What's going to be amazing? What is it that truly would reflect who I am? And if you were to leave Sydney at night and go to a less lit part of the New South Wales countryside, you could look up and you could be amazed at what is in the sky. And David points to that. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place." He's the God who is amazing that we see through his amazing creation. And one of the things about God's creation, there's extremes everywhere, isn't there? There's big and there's small, there's hot and there's cold, there's dry and wet or humid, there's so very high up and then you can go to the very depths of the oceans. There are things that are as light as thin air up in the high altitudes down to heavy rocks. There's amazing creatures, all made by this amazing God. And so that's the first thing that flows out of his amazingness. The second one that flows out of who he is that God's love for us is amazing. Did you pick that up? As David wrote Psalm 8, he says in verses 4 to 5, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them?" Can you hear the question in David? He's so amazed by this reality that God is mindful of us. He has to ask it in a form of a question. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you would even care for them. And so he points to God who loves him and loves you and loves me. And David doesn't have ideas above his station. He knows where he has been set with regards to creation. He says, "You have made them," as mankind, "a little lower than the angels." So we're not right up here. We're sort of down here a little bit. But then he says, "And you've crowned us with glory and honor. You have lifted us up. We didn't deserve to be lifted higher, but you have." That's amazing. I was thinking about this and I thought, isn't it incredible how much God loves me and what he would do for me, what he has done for me, that I might have a connection and a relationship with him. Do I truly appreciate how amazing that is? Or is it something that day two of that becomes a little less amazing for me? Or day three, it becomes less, and then after 3 decades, it's a little bit less amazing, and it's just one of those things. Oh yeah, God died for me. Of course God loves me. And I lose some of the awe and wonder. What was one of the things that AI said? It said that amazes us. It said the universe. It also said love and connection. Love and connection. God created us to be connected to us and to love us. Why is he mindful? Why is his mind full of me? Why is his mind full of you? And so there's this picture, isn't there, painted by David, as little as we are, as broken, as shameful, as selfish as we are, God cares for you. And ultimately, even though David may not have known it was going to happen or happen the way it did, God would send his son to die on a cross for you and for me because he is mindful of us. And he didn't want to have a reality without us. In fact, he has worked incredibly hard that there would be a reality where we might be connected with him. And that brings me to the last. And so we've thought about this amazing God who has an amazing creation and has an amazing love. The final one is that God's provision is amazing. Now, I've been going really well, haven't I? AI gave me 3 things. It gave me the universe, it gave me love and connection. Do you remember what the other one was? It was our brain. And our brain doesn't really fit this next one. But that's okay. I'm on a mission. I'm going to make it fit. Okay? So work with me here. But this is what David says in verses 6-8. You made them, that's us, rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. Now, that could have actually gone in the last section, but let's keep going. All flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. There's this provision by God, isn't there? There's a provision of things for us. But the interesting thing is that with that provision, it didn't necessarily come with instructions. He provided us with what? A brain. Okay, I'm making it hard, but it's fitting. Okay, maybe it's not fitting, but I'm going to keep pretending it is. He gave us a brain that we might be able to do the things that were required to make the most of his provision. Our brains are a part of that provision as well as a part of his creation. But we have the ability and the opportunity to farm, to cultivate, to heal, to study, to learn, to have food, to have a home, and to do the things that might make that happen because of the brain that he has given us. In fact, there's a logic and a purposefulness in the creation, which means that there is provision in there, just perfectly created for us. Such is his love for us. His provision comes out of who he is. So to finish up, that website also said this about being amazed. It said, experiencing amazement can foster personal growth, enhance creativity, and promote a sense of connection to the larger world. It encourages individuals to seek out new experiences and to embrace them. It's pretty cool to be somebody who leans into amazement, isn't it? To experience amazement can foster personal growth. This is something about that's good for our well-being. It's good for who we are. It can enhance creativity, can promote a sense of connection to the larger world. It encourages individuals to seek out new experiences and embrace change. What does it say in the first half of verse 2 of Psalm 8? It says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Do you notice one of the things that you rarely say to children? You rarely say to children, prepare to be amazed. Do you know why? Because they're ready for it. You say it to adults who are a bit jaded, or perhaps who shouldn't be shocked and need to be sitting down. for things that are amazing. Or perhaps who are going to resist change or bat away some of the amazing things in life because they don't want to be challenged by them. Kids aren't like that. Kids soak up, move towards, gravitate towards, highlight, ask the question why about amazing things. It'd be good if we were more like kids, wouldn't it? More open to the amazing things around us and the amazing God who loves us so dearly. Kids don't need to be prepared to be amazed. They're looking for it. They're living for it. And so verse 9 finishes pretty much where it started in a way. Lord our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So I have an invitation for you this morning. And it might be something that you already do, and you might want to think up ways of, I guess, enlarging it or making it work for you better. But the invitation is an invitation to be amazed and to go on a walk in nature, to get out of the built environment that we're in, and to get into God's creation. It might be good to do it when it's not raining and when it's sunny, so that you don't need to be amazed at how cold and wet it can be. And it says, spend 30 minutes outdoors without headphones. I said to 8:30, I may be aiming at the wrong crowd there. And they went, yeah, we don't have headphones. But you might. And so the idea is to be somewhere where you can hear creation, where you can hear birdsong, where you can hear the wind blowing through the leaves of the trees, where you can hear the rustle in the ground in the path next to you, and you can be amazed at how concerned you are that it might be a snake. Whatever it is, so that you are able to enjoy being in that environment in God's creation. But it says spend 30 minutes outdoors. Now, I don't know about you, but for some of you, you might be bushwalkers where you go, oh, it's a 30-minute walk. We can do that in 24 minutes. That's not the aim. It's not about the A to B. It's about 30 minutes where even if all you do is go 10 meters, but you are amazed by what you find. Now, one of the things about Australia is that Australia has Australian native wildflowers, I'm told. I've never been a big fan of them, and some of them are incredibly, stupidly small. Have you noticed? And it's almost like God thought one day these people in Australia that I'm creating, they're going to be in a hurry. So I'm going to make flowers that they will only notice if they slow down. So you've got an opportunity in 30 minutes to investigate and search for the things that might be amazing. And as you do so, notice the beauty and offer simple prayers of gratitude. Now for you, this week it might not be about offering simple prayers of gratitude. You might have something that's weighing heavily upon you, and it might be a good opportunity to go out and be amazed and then to bring some of those things to God as you are also amazed by his love for you and his care for you and his mindfulness of you. But I encourage you that at the very least that you might find some things in that walk that you might be able to give thanks to God for. I'd love to pray for you and for me as we go about this week that we might take time to be amazed, that we wouldn't over-prepare ourselves for it, but rather we would just accept it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your provision and for your creation. We thank you that you have given Jesus, such as your love for us. We thank you for the reminder this morning that your mind is full of us. It is truly amazing that you have set your heart upon us, as small and broken as we are. And I pray, Lord, for this week as we go about our lives, that we would find time to be amazed
Perhaps it might just be in the expressions and emotions of somebody who is dear to us as we listen and watch them. Or it might be outside walking through your creation. Lord, help us to be like children, to marvel, have a sense of wonder and awe at all that you are and all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.